Welcome to the Digital Health Voice, an exclusive podcast brought to you by MedTech World and supported by Digital Health Malta. Thank you for your continuous support. We are truly committed to bringing you exclusive guests from all around the world and getting them to share their journey with you all. If you know of anyone who would be a good guest, please let us know. In the meantime, see you at any of our next events.
Episode number 13. 13 usually is an unlucky number, but I sure feel lucky about meeting Jasmine Hunze today, who is the CEO and founder of Evoline Limited. And with that in mind, let's dive deep into the interview.
Hello, Jasmine. I'm getting confused. I have so many different variations, but Jasmine, I think I'm suffering from short-term amnesia every now and then. But Jasmine, you know, it's such a pleasure to have you here with us today. And as you know, the Digital Health Voice is all about digital health and medtech. And we were really lucky to have you at MedTech World last November. And we even had you on a panel. In fact, in preparation for today's session, I even got to listen to this and said, wow, Jasmine really sounds like some extremely wise person that I should have met before. And finally, I met her now on a podcast. So really cool that Dylan connected us and that we're here today. So my big question to you, because this is not about me, but it's about you. It's like, what's your digital health journey? Like, what brought you here with us today? Like, how did you end up on a digital health and medtech podcast? How did that happen?
Oh, that's a great question. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I love being part of this whole community, and it's really, really nice to continue the relationship forward after Malta. So my journey to digital health and to here is a little wiggly, I would say. So my degree is in computer science and English. And I was literally the only person in my year that did that degree. I graduated on my own. And then I became a debt collector.
Debt collector.
So like calling people up.
Debt collector. Oh my goodness. Debt collector. All right. I should have like.
Yeah, no. So.
Tell me more about it. This is, oh my goodness. So we had the political scientist. We had the journalist. Now we have a debt collector. Oh my God. This is getting so exciting. Go for it. Tell us.
So yeah, literally. So at like 18, I worked for a bank, literally calling people up and getting people to go and knock on their doors to get their money if they weren't paying their loans back. So it was an interesting first job. And then I very quickly, luckily, got into marketing. But it was an interesting start, you know. So I worked for loads of different marketing industries. So I worked in automotive, I worked in academic publishing, I worked in fintech, and I worked for a university and a college. And then I knew I wanted to do something that I cared about. As much as I like cars and books, they don't kind of get me out of bed every day. So I'd been thinking about what I wanted to do for a while, for a couple of years, kind of not totally sure what I wanted to market. And then my husband had been in the RAF for almost 10 years, and he left the RAF and joined this medical imaging company. And he came home every day and was talking about what they did and how cool it was. And I met some of them and I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be in med tech. So it took me a little while to get into it, lots of networking and everything, but eventually I joined an Oxford University spin-out and led their marketing team. So it was my first job in healthcare. They took quite a jump on me. I mean, I was an experienced marketer, but no healthcare experience. So right in at the deep end, going out and visiting doctors, loads and loads of kind of boots on the ground stuff rather than sitting in an office stuff. Traveled the world and really kind of learnt the ropes of healthcare from the kind of front end of startup life. And with that, I took a few medical devices to market, but I also took the company to America. So I built their American arm with, at that point, my husband. And this lead somewhere. You'll see why I'm mentioning this. We took a few medical devices to the US. We lived in Texas for 2 years. And then we realized that actually our two skill sets, so he's like an operational person, I'm more of the commercial person, were quite aligned. And we decided to set up our own company, Eveline. So we're about a year old now. And it's named after a Swiss village where we used to go mountaineering when I was younger. So that's kind of how we're here. The reason we went to Malta is we actually have Maltese family. So we have family in Marshishluck. And nice. So we go to Malta quite a lot. And then we saw that there was a conference there. And I think Dylan reached out and I was like, oh, it's meant to be. We've got to go. And then obviously... Nice. The rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, the conference is at the end of the day. It's all about the 1+1, you know, bringing this together. And it's so cool. I had no idea I had family. What? Wow. One surprise after the other. Jasmine, I mean, this is going to be one hell of a podcast, you know, at the end of it. So we were talking about conferences, right? So did you enjoy MedTechWorld? Like, do you have some key takeaways from the event? Yeah. I mean, it was such a pleasure just like speaking to people, you know, after all this, after all that was going on, you know. So how was your experience? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so we love conferences. We're very kind of face-to-face talking people. So throughout COVID, that's been a little bit difficult for us. And it was our first international conference as our own company, which was really fun. We went in with pretty high hopes, but we were blown away by the conference itself. Like, it exceeded all of our expectations. The quality of the people, the quality of the speakers. I know I'm a bit biased because I was speaking, but it was really interesting to see, especially since we'd spent quite a lot of time in America, it was really interesting to see actually Europe as this kind of burgeoning med tech scene and everything it had to offer. And that was really exciting. There was a couple of things that I saw there that I was really interested in. There was a few uses of VR, which kind of blew my mind. I think there was some VR for like kids who were in pain, and the presentation was just fantastic. And I was I want that.
That's a researcher from Malta, actually. Yeah.
Brilliant. And then there was also some stuff on kind of data sharing and you know, kind of taking AI, maturing AI a little bit, that was really interesting to hear. And yeah, I was just really impressed by the whole event, and hopefully we'll be there again this year.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet people IRL in real life, pretty much, you know. And honestly, like, I'd love to go. I mean, I'm dying to travel for a conference. We were lucky that you guys came here. But now it's time for me to venture, to go abroad and to you know, go on a plane. Oh, I'm going to a conference. Oh, my kid is not jumping on me somewhere. Like, I'm actually going focused on a conference. So that is something that I'd love to experience this year.
Yeah.
So
do you have any lined up?
Hopefully. Well, I do have some, but I'll send that list maybe, you know, personally. I reach out to you personally. But definitely MedTechWorld is on the calendar, you know, and I really, really can't wait there. Because, you know, even like making the connections and even the relationships that we've built, mm-hmm. it's amazing, you know. And this is also the beauty about this podcast, is that we get to meet people and we get to talk to them and we get to hear their stories. So this is like fantastic. It's even like a really consistent way to keep in touch with so many different people. So really looking forward. But listen, you know, Eveline. So now we know that Eveline is named after some Swiss mountaineering area. But I think Eveline is more than that. And when I was listening to you talk at MedTechWorld, there was one thing which really struck me from what you did. And this comes actually back maybe a bit from your debt collector days, funnily enough, if I make the link. Because you were calling people, we were literally knocking on people's doors sometimes. I'm not sure if that what maybe for debt collecting you weren't doing that, and maybe thank God for doing that, for not doing that, because we might hear some murder story or something. But joking aside, like how those experiences, like especially when meeting doctors and really understanding what they want and how the whole experience shapes. I mean, did the doctors welcome you, and like how did you make that work, and how does like Evelyn fit in the whole picture? Like tell me more about Evelyn, because really this is like a new paradigm shift, like that even the fact that there is special healthcare communications and marketing company, even just that's very innovative. Because we think that we know how to communicate, especially doctors. Trust me, we have like this sometimes grandiose vision that we actually know how to communicate to everyone, when that's not always the case. We really need to get better at that for sure. So tell me more about it. Like, what's your mission?
Yeah, for sure. So we really saw kind of so many, working in the ecosystems that we worked in, I saw so many companies that were doing these amazing things, but hadn't spoken to someone that would buy it before, or maybe they'd spoken to one or two people and they had heard exactly what they wanted to hear, and that had been it. And really tying those two things, that ties together really nicely actually with why we're doing what we're doing, because we saw how we could help. We saw that actually what these amazing companies that have these innovative ideas needed was someone to help them bridge that gap between all this clinical evidence that they have and then actually the just doctor or nurse or patient or payer or pharma company that actually will give them money, and bridging that conversational gap. And there's loads of ways that companies help with that. You know, we're not channel specific, but that's the problem that we're solving, because we had firsthand experience of it. You know, I had all these preconceptions of like, I'm going to take this technology and talk to this doctor and he's going to say this and I'm going to rebut with this. Absolutely not. Completely the opposite thing happened every time. I'd go in all prepared and the doctor would be like, okay, that's great, but what about this? And I hadn't thought about that. And so every single time it improved how we pitched, it improved how we marketed, and quite often it improved the product. Yes, and that was a really key thing as well. It's not just about kind of commercializing the existing product. Actually, the marketing helped the product actually get better. And when we saw that, we realized, okay, there's so many people that we can help with this solution of, okay, this is how you engage with your audience. This is the questions you need to ask. This is the material you might need to create. So that's really where we come in. And I think the difference for us is we're not a digital agency. We're not a pure PR agency. We're not a web agency. You know, there's brilliant people at that, but we are a little more about actually looking at the problem that the client has and seeing how we can solve it with whatever marketing they might need.
All right. So yeah, like, no, tell me. For example, you don't let, because, you know, when you come to digital agencies, you think about, for example, you know, a social media agency, even, for example, just focus on social media, but you were onto something there, and I don't want to stop you. So tell me more, you know, like after like talking to the client, you said that you reach out to the client and you start building, shaping a vision for them. Tell me more about that. That must be really interesting.
Yeah. So I think the really interesting thing is quite often people think they know what they need to do to solve something. So quite the most common thing that we help people with is crossing borders. So taking a product from the UK to the US or Canada to the US or Canada to the UK or Israel to the US. And they're like, okay, we think we need a PR campaign. I'm like, okay, but who are you actually trying to reach? Okay, you're trying to reach your community radiologists. Like, they're not really reading these big PR outlets that you're trying to get into. They might listen to a webinar once a week from this specific accredited provider. And that's how they get their information. And so that actually all you need to focus on is getting on that one webinar and getting a good slide in it. That needs to be a marketing strategy. Whereas some other people think that they really need all these conferences, whereas actually they need to find a niche conference that their people attend and actually are going with a buying intent. And it's really interesting to kind of take a step back. You know, we can help with all those channels, but actually what we like doing is taking a step back and going, okay, how should you approach your market expansion, your market growth? And it's different at different stages. So we help kind of, we could help anything from a seed company, although there tends to be fewer of those, up to kind of pre-IPO. And at each stage, they're going to have a different budget, a different, you know, drive. So some people, some companies we work with are really going for their investment rounds at the moment. Obviously, the investor scene's really hot, so everyone's going for investment. So that's something that we're helping people with in terms of, okay, that's completely different positioning to when you're doing physician outreach. You know, your investors do care how your social media looks. They care about your branding. They care about your profile in general. And that's a very different marketing communications tactic to engaging, like I said, with those kind of community radiologists in the outback of America. So that's, yeah, that's really where we see that all tying together.
Wow. I mean, like it's lighting up so many bulbs in my head because I work within the government, but communication is so critical, and COVID-19 pandemic definitely showed how important the communication is, you know, and even communicating in a simple way. I was even like listening to something, to a Blink actually, because I like to use Blinkist, and you get this blink so that you like really rush through a book. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really struck me, for example, is how there were some administrations, US administrations, that actually forbid workers to use technical lingo when communicating, to communicate in a way that people understand, simple language. And I think that's what we really have to learn in healthcare. I mean, I know that we should expect people to learn some basic healthcare language, and that's where health literacy comes in, you know, and even digital health literacy, and even maybe some medtech literacy as well.
Tell me.
No, it's like a conversation, you know. I mean, I really, it's not about, you know, it's about you today. So I really like, so, you know, inspire me, seriously. Like,
no,
really.
I just love what you were saying about the health literacy and what kind of words people should use to different situations. So I was working with a company that had, they produce a report for doctors. And the metrics that they put on the report, the metrics were amazing. The product was fantastic. I fully believe in the product. But the report, the words that they used weren't the same words that the person reading it would use for that indication. And so as soon as it went out of kind of the original place where they made the product, people didn't really understand how to read the report, and it took them a little bit of time. And so we made cheat sheets for it and did a few different things to try and help the reader understand it. But then actually we just went to the product team in the end and were like, can we just change the language in the report? Can we just make it what they already say? They use this word. Can we use this word? And we did. And instantly people got it. And it just, like, this barrier to entry just dropped away. And the other thing that you said that really piqued my interest was the health literacy thing. And I think I've spent quite a bit of time marketing in Singapore and America and Europe, and seeing the different levels of health literacy is incredible. And I think that's something that we probably need to do better at in the UK. The rest of Europe is a little better than us, and Singapore and America are definitely better. The average person in the UK, I think, could probably increase their health literacy, being politically correct. But the variety is incredible. And I think that's something a lot of people take for granted.
Yeah, I think, in fact, now the way you spoke, I'm kind of wondering if there is a link between health literacy and the way that healthcare is financed in that country. Because, you know, in the US, you kind of have to be a little bit of an expert on every health condition because you're gonna have to pay up.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas how is it in you know, in the UK, where you have more of a universal health coverage model, where basically if you go to a healthcare organization, most of the times you won't be asked to pay up
So I mean,
which is great. Yeah. You know, but it's interesting to see this.
It's really interesting. Like I've had, obviously living abroad, I have had a lot of healthcare in America and in the UK, and in Iceland. They were excellent. But
cool, Iceland.
Yeah, they were.
You've been around. That's really, really cool. Really amazing. Wow.
But the difference is that, you know, in America, you have choice of, I mean, in the UK, you have choice, but in America, you're paying for it. So you kind of ask and get what you ask for. You know, I want this test. I want this drug. Whereas in the UK, because it's, you're kind of used to getting it free and you're therefore not kind of a consumer as much, you put less effort into thinking, okay, actually, these are my treatment options or these are my diagnostic options. So yeah, it's very interesting, the difference.
Wow. You know, I mean, time flies by when you're having fun, and we, you know, we're getting to really, really close, you know, to kind of the closing question. And I have one big thing for you. So what does the future look like for digital health and medtech, and how does Evoline fit in the picture? Do you see yourself like as a, you know, a global 100 digital health company or medtech company? How do you see? Because, you know, this is very interesting because it's such a, it's, you know, you're focused so much on the communication aspect, which is very interesting. You know, you're helping, and you're helping a couple of companies rather than, it's, in fact, it kind of reminds me a little bit about consulting as well, the way that you're approaching things. But do you see yourself, for example, creating a product of your own? How does the future look like?
Yeah, so I don't think we'll be creating a product of our own. So unfortunately, we are. So we know how to talk to people. We know how to commercialize, but we are really not scientists. So that's kind of the way that we feel that we can add something to the world is by helping the really intelligent people that can do things. But they're not us. But I think there's a few strands of digital health that we're really excited about. And I think the way that we're part of that is that we are actually working with some companies doing some cool things in this area. So I think the first thing that I'm excited to see coming up, and this comes from my husband's background, because he grew up, his family ran nursing homes for elderly care. So my when I was a teenager, I used to wash dishes in a nursing home. And I think one of the things we're seeing now is that people are acknowledging the needs of elderly care and the growing aging population. And we're seeing a lot of technology coming to solve some of the problems there and address some of the kind of longevity questions, which is really cool. And we're working with a few companies in that space that I can't talk about yet, but that's really exciting. And there's two other things. Sorry, I won't be too long this time. So women's health, I think, is a really exciting thing. I've had the pleasure of working previously on a few projects that have done some really cool things in kind of diagnosing underdiagnosed conditions and helping find treatments for conditions. And that's, I think, really exciting. And I think we are seeing a lot more investment in that area now. But I think the big thing that I guess we see every day, and that most of our customers are now fall into this bucket, is the maturation of AI and how it's gone from being these shiny new products that are coming along to actually helping with the real problems that health systems are facing, like burnout and increased patient load. And now we're seeing AI helping with workflow and data sharing and this really like unsexy stuff. But it's actually the stuff that makes a big difference. And that's, you know, maybe 40% of our clients currently are working in that space, but it actually makes a real impact on the day-to-day lives of the providers of healthcare. So that's something I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I mean, the digital transformation that's going on right now and how important it is to communicate the outcomes and communicate how the digital transformation is going to happen in the first place. Like, how will your old job look like now because of the digital transformation? That needs to be communicated in such a delicate and precise manner. And even just to gain people's trust, we know this theme of trust came up so many times in the past weeks as we were doing more and more podcasting, you know, that that, you know, it kind of like say, okay, we have to do something about this. And I have one final question for you. So you have now, Jasmine, you have 1 minute. 1 minute, okay? I'll be keeping time. And you have 1 minute to raise awareness on any topic of your choice. It doesn't have to be health related, but it's something that you strongly feel about and something that you would like to share with our lovely audience. Go ahead. Okay. The floor is yours.
This is a really interesting one. So we've already covered what I usually bang on about, which is getting early market feedback and talking to people and talking to your customers. So the second thing that I try and talk about to anyone who will listen is getting marketing involved much earlier than you think you need to in a startup journey. So any kind of digital health startups listening, you're thinking, okay, I'm really early. I don't need to start marketing for another year or two. Actually, before you get regulatory clearance is when you need to start thinking about how you're going to position yourself. And that is because you need to get in those regulatory claims, you need to get all of how you're going to communicate your product. So if you do it after, you'll be stunted. If you do it before, then you're set up for success. So the main thing I think I want people to hear from us is that marketing and regulatory roadmaps should probably be kind of aligned as they go forwards. Marketing's usually really afraid of regulatory and vice versa. They usually don't get on. But if they get on, then it makes everything a lot easier.
Wow. It is such an important topic. And actually reminds me actually about COVID-19 vaccines. One company got their marketing and communication right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. The other one, which I believe all of you know what's its name, even though they had a big global demand later on, but they didn't get their communication and marketing right.
Yeah.
And that really had an impact on even COVID-19 vaccine uptake. It might have not have had an impact on their stock price, because if you see the stocks, you see a totally different story, but it might have had a massive impact on the ways that the vaccines were distributed even. And it could have also been one of the things that has contributed to the tragic low uptake actually of vaccines in Africa.
Mm.
Fine enough, we're looking at 10% only just for now. So these are all so important, the communication and marketing aspect. And especially when it comes to healthcare, because it's such like mission critical nearly, yeah. You know? Not nearly, it's a mission
like it's literally life and death.
So critical. Oh my goodness, good one there. You caught me on that. But you know, Jasmine, I'm so, so sorry, but we have to finish here today.
It's been a pleasure. And thank you so much.
It was really great having you here. And honestly, to our lovely audience, thank you, Jasmine. And we can't wait to see you in Malta.
Definitely.
Why not? So the digital head voice is literally growing everywhere. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram of MedTech World, where you can find videos there and get the latest information there and get the latest in the specific playlist. But you can also find us on your favorite podcast player. So you can find us on Stitcher, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it. So just find us on your favorite podcast player, The Digital Health Voice, and get listening. We would really love a 5-star rating from you, maybe 4 or 5, please. So we look forward to hearing from you and getting your feedback as well. Is this meaningful to you? How can we help you get better digital health insights? Thank you and see you later.